The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
220,000 Americans dead. If you hear nothing else I say tonight, hear this. Anyone who's responsible for not taking control, in fact, not saying I take no responsibility initially, anyone who's responsible for that many deaths should not remain as president of the United States of America.
Anyone responsible for that many deaths? Yesterday, as I mentioned in passing on the show, yesterday, 2021 surpassed 2020. The total number of deaths. Biden's been in office for less than 9 months. And through it all, we've had the vaccine. Through all of 2020, we had no vaccine. More deaths under Biden's watch than Donald J. Trump. And there you hear it from Biden himself while he was campaigning. Anyone responsible. And of course, he meant by that Donald Trump was responsible. He was president while all of those people were dying last year. And who has been president? Who has presided over 352,000 COVID deaths this year, even when two-thirds of Americans have been vaccinated? The numbers just don't add up. Well, we'll leave aside for a moment the fact that Biden should step aside. He said so. But what about the numbers? What about the numbers? What does it mean when you've got two-thirds of the nation vaccinated and more deaths than last year when there was no vaccine? And we'll get into that and much more on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. We've got our live stream brought to you every day exclusively. YouTube won't have it. It's exclusively at our website, thetrumpet.com. You can go to thetrumpet.com/live and get to the live video stream. It's offered nowhere else. The live video stream at thetrumpet.com/live. It's 11 a.m. here in the central time zone of the United States, noon on the East Coast, 9 a.m. on the West Coast, and of course, live all around the world as well. Most people, though, listen to the podcast after it's posted a couple of hours after the show. That, too, you can find the archive of the older programs at thetrumpet.com/live. So lots to get to on today's show. Pfizer, you heard at the top, even on the news items at the top of the hour here on our radio station. Pfizer's big push. We've got to get the jab into five-year-olds. Now, not as much, maybe a third of the dose, but still, after a double jab and those five-year-olds, they're going to be safe. The five-year-olds are going to be safe from COVID. COVID never threatened them in the first place. But Pfizer, as you heard from the Pfizer rep yourself just the other day, Pfizer is now being operated on COVID dollars alone. Billions and billions of dollars. $15 billion over this past year. Yeah, it's the COVID shots. It's the jabs. That's what skyrocketed the stock price of Moderna. A little company that nobody heard of a year ago. But now, I mean, its stock shares are $330. And you have all these whistleblowers coming forward. The latest, this Pfizer employee working at the Kansas branch, coming forward with all of these shocking revelations proving, surprise, surprise, that Pfizer lied. This is from Project Veritas, clip 5.
Well, in this database, you came across a chain of emails discussing fetal tissue and the COVID vaccine. Vanessa Gelman, who works in Washington, D.C., is Senior Director of Worldwide Research. The question came up as an inquiry to our MedInfo group. They're asking, quote, did Pfizer make use of a cell line from an aborted fetus?
They want you to leave out the highlighted part, which is the one or more cell lines with an origin that can be traced back to human fetal tissue has been used in laboratory tests associated with the vaccine program.
This message from Vanessa Gilman.
From the perspective of corporate affairs, we want to avoid having the information on the fetal cell lines floating out there. We believe that the risk of communicating this right now outweighs any potential benefit that we could see, particularly with general members of the public who may take this information and use it in ways we may not want it out there.
Copying Vanessa Gelman, we have an approved answer to this question, the question being about fetal tissue, which Vanessa can probably provide, HEK2932. What does that mean, HEK cells?
Human embryo kidney cells, and okay. It was from experiment 293.
They've used cells from aborted fetuses.
Yes,
and they don't
cells.
Want the public to know that.
Yes.
That's staggering for society because of what you said, religious exemptions.
Mm-hmm. And they're denying our religious exemptions at Pfizer.
There was an issue with the FDA. And
I heard something about they're doing some sort of tests in there with lights, but I'm not sure. And I said, in unoccupied rooms and in a group lead office? And he goes, well, the FDA is coming. I could not believe that they were blacking out windows down in our manufacturing rooms. We are told that you should be seen at all times, that we need to make sure that we have high integrity. And the rooms that are like this one where you can see my reflection, it's a group lead office where they just do the paperwork for the batches. Mm. So why does that need blacked out?
Yeah, black out the windows. What does that sound like? The election steal. Remember what they did in Detroit up in Wayne County? Just, hey, if you want to steal it, then block off the windows so the watchers can't view what you're doing. Same thing with Pfizer. Using fetal tissue from aborted babies. Something they said, of course we didn't do that. Of course we didn't support gain of function. Of course we didn't get any illegal ballots. I mean, the spirit of Antiochus is strong. Deception. Revelation 12:9, the devil has deceived the whole world. How many people just go along with these lies? And then to hear the top of the news, the top stories at the top of the hour on this, it's of course outsourced to a group in London. So we didn't put together the news package, but it gives you a pretty good insight into the way they go about the daily news gathering. The big story from Pfizer, it's not this whistleblower exposing the lies, exposing the fact that they're using aborted human embryo kidney cells, as she said there. It's that Pfizer wants to get the jab into five-year-olds. Never mind the fact that they're using aborted fetuses. Come on. We're all on board with abortion. We're all on board with that sort of technology. Just use it. And they're using it. And you got one lady to come forward. Now, you think she's going to come under fire? Of course she is. What a courageous woman this is. She's taking a leave of absence. I suppose she's never going to appear in the Pfizer plant ever again. But good for her for speaking up. And then you have the undercover videos from a couple days ago. All of these Pfizer employees saying, yeah, it's true, the antibodies that you have just after getting COVID yourself, those are stronger than the vaccine. But hey, don't tell that to the public. Hey, cover up the windows and then tell the employees, look, don't let this get out about using these human embryo kidney cells. Don't let that get out because that can make us look bad. Well, now it's out and where's the media? Crickets, you see. It's Project Veritas. I mean, he's got an agenda, that guy. We can't actually cover that. I mean, it's video. It's right there. He's talking to the woman who worked there. And in the package, she shows her identification. Yes, I worked at Pfizer and so on. Here's some still shots of the blackened windows. A first-hand account. And it's ignored. For the most part, it's just ignored. This is from Gateway Pundit. New data from the Department of Defense. Again, this is from government agencies. Shows waning immunity from COVID-19 vaccine.
to its 5.6 million vaccinated Medicare beneficiaries. Listen to this. An AI program launched by the Department of Defense's Joint Artificial Intelligence Center called Project Salus has examined data on 5.6 million Medicare beneficiaries age 65 and older. 2.7 million were vaccinated with Pfizer and 2.9 million with Moderna. The data was posted on October 5th, so just a couple days ago, on the Humitrix website, a platform that provides healthcare organizations and government agencies with real-time clinical data management. So what did they find from these 5.6 million vaccinated patients? It says this new finding revealed that the majority of those 5.6 million beneficiaries aged 65 and older who are fully vaccinated were infected by COVID-19. So it's got the fetal tissue or the cells from it in the drug. The drug not only is killing some people and maiming and paralyzing others, like this 19-year-old boy from Ohio, didn't want to take the jab but thought, well, to get back to normal, I'll take it. He's laid up in the hospital now, partially paralyzed. Not only that, you've got the vaccine itself. It doesn't even shield people from the virus itself. 5.6 million and the majority, they get COVID anyway. It says here two studies from Israel and Qatar that were published in the New England Journal of Medicine supported this claim that the effectiveness of the vaccine decreases over time despite the individuals being fully vaccinated. It's a nice way of saying that it really doesn't work. Gateway says this means that transmission may be primarily occurring by vaccinated individuals. You hear that it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated. And when you hear it over and over again, what's that the first sign of? That's probably exactly the opposite. And now we're beginning to see it's not a pandemic of the unvaccinated. It's a pandemic of the vaccinated. You have all of these self-righteous, fully jabbed celebrities, commentators saying it's the unvaccinated. They're a grave danger to me. I've been vaccinated, but they're dangerous. It's the opposite. Now, I don't want to set off a widespread panic here, but it's the unvaccinated who should be concerned about hanging around the vaccinated. That's what's fueling this wave. Look at the stats. 352,000 dying last year, and yesterday we surpassed that for this year. We're not even halfway into October. Joe Biden's been in office less than 9 months. And no matter how much he says, get vaccinated. It's not going to help the problem. It's hurting. It's hurting people. It's making people sick. It's causing people to keel over from blood clots and heart attacks, brain hemorrhages. It's the vaccine. I'm sorry to say, it's the vaccine. I know no one else will say it. It's the vaccine that's causing the spread of this disease as it continues wave after wave after wave. And then they want what? Wave after wave of jabs. Now we're into the booster jab. Never mind what the FDA says. The FDA says by a vote of 16-2, no, no booster shot, not needed. And so Biden, of course, says, hey, got to get the booster. And so they put together the fake set and they had Biden come forward for probably the fake jab to promote the booster shot, the third shot of this spike protein that just kills the immune system. No wonder they're getting COVID again. People are killing their immune systems and they're getting sick. And as of yesterday, more COVID deaths in 2021 than all of 2020 when we didn't even have the vaccine. Or if we did, it was just for the last couple weeks of December. That's it. So do the math. Something doesn't add up here. You know this. You know, think it through, look at the numbers, consider how many people have gotten the jab, I know there's a widespread blackout. They're wanting to blot this out. But this is the truth. As uncomfortable as it might be, it is the truth. Listen to Anthony Fauci as he tries to explain. He really doesn't even try to. He just kind of rambles on after this reporter. To her credit, she's been jabbed. Her family was jabbed. And they're all getting COVID. And she wants Anthony Fauci to explain why. Why is this happening? Here's clip four.
You guys have been pushing the vaccine, and I obviously understand why. I'm vaccinated, but I also have COVID, and it's spread through my entire family in the past few weeks. That's why I'm doing the show from home today. And I just wonder about the public messaging around vaccinations. Three vaccinated people got COVID in my house. Two unvaccinated children got it. Are you too casual about the limitations of the vaccine?
No.
Because it does feel to me that these breakthroughs are happening. They're happening regularly. And we haven't really seen the government pay that much attention to them or warn about them too much. The bottom line is we were still able to get it and transmit it. Thank God we're not in the hospital. I get it. I'm vaccinated. But you can get it and transmit it. And the government hasn't been warning about that.
Oh, yes, I am. We have. And we've said that. And let me just give you the science and the facts.
But it says on the CDC website, Dr. Fauci, that infections happen in only a small proportion of people who are fully vaccinated. And when these infections occur among the vaccinated, they tend to be mild. But the CDC doesn't even track the breakthrough infection. So how do we know that they're happening to a small proportion? And how do we know that they are tending to be mild? It's not a question of whether hospitalizations and death. We know that benefit. It's just public messaging and being transparent about the risk for vaccinated people.
Well, in the past, the CDC has not, you're quite correct, tracked all real and potential asymptomatic infections. They are modifying that right now.
So here's the science. The CDC hasn't done this in the past, and we're in the midst of modifying things. What about the CDC, though, saying that if you're vaccinated, you have a very, very tiny chance of getting the COVID? And the vast majority of those getting COVID, not all of them, but the majority, let's just put it that way, they gotten the jab. So the jab doesn't protect you, clearly. And then they won't even track the seriousness of these sicknesses if you've gotten the vaccine. So again, if the data support Anthony Fauci's theories, then he'll put it out there. If it doesn't, well, look, if things are being modified, things are constantly evolving. We're not going to focus in on that study coming out of Israel or Qatar. Forget about it. Just take my word for it. It's like my father says in the Will Worship article from last year. These people worship their opinions. They worship themselves. They could care less if a 19-year-old is laid up in the hospital in Ohio. They don't care. They don't care if 5-year-olds die. Listen, Pfizer's living on COVID money. And it doesn't matter that there's cells from aborted fetuses in this drug, even though they said there weren't. It just doesn't matter. And as for religious objections, hey, that's in the past. You've got to go along or else you're going to lose your job. You're going to lose your job. There's a case in Colorado, this friend of a woman that wants to give her kidneys are about to shut down. So a friend wants to give her kidney. And the hospital in Colorado won't even do the surgery and the transplant because neither one of them have gotten the jab. So it's no longer just lose your job. Now it's maybe lose your life. I mean, this is the world system. Trust in the doctors. Now the doctors are turning away patients. No, we're not going to do that kidney transplant. Well, I might die in 3 weeks. Doesn't matter. You need the jab. Here this woman has kidney failure, and they're trying to stick this toxic protein into her. It's just insanity. Well, that's what we can expect from a world that's just off the rails. Satan's deceived the whole world. He's the god of this world. Fauci can't answer that. Others have put forward responses when the media badger them. You know, these athletes. A few athletes are speaking out. Good for them. I saw one from an Irish football player the other day. He kept coming back to the fact, well, you know, I've made the choice. As of this moment, I haven't gotten the jab. Yeah, well, what? I think you need to get the jab, say the preachers in the media. What about the example you're setting? Well, look, it's my body. It's my choice. I've chosen not to get it. Next question. Why won't you get the jab? That's the way it goes. Listen to Bill Belichick. This is the Patriots coach, the football team here in the U.S., commenting on some players that haven't gotten the jab. Clip 13.
No, we have other players on the team who aren't vaccinated, as I would say probably does every other team in the league. And we've had minimal, but throughout the league there have been a number of, quite a high number, I would say, of players who have, you know, had the virus who have been vaccinated. So, you know, your implication that vaccination solves every problem is just not really, I would say that has not been substantiated based on what's happened in training camp this year. That's all.
Boom. Yeah, your implication that the vaccinations would solve everything. Not true. I've seen it at our training camp. We've seen it in other training camps. Yeah, a lot of these guys that have gotten the jab, they also got the COVID. It's a pandemic. At this point in the story, it's a pandemic of the vaccinated. And more people are beginning to see that. That's why they're standing firm against it. A lot are being pressured into getting the jab. A lot are saying, look, it's either the jab or I lose my job. But watch that death count as it continues to climb. And as we continue to have more and more variants, and as millions and millions of people continue to see their immune systems weaken and become more susceptible then to variants of this disease, what about the side effects, the deadly side effects? In some cases, you have more and more stories about those that have died because of the vaccine, and you have a few medical institutions that are actually reporting the truth. This is from King County up in the state of Washington. A resident there who died of what the King County Medical Institution says is a rare vaccine-related blood clot. This is the notice. It says, Seattle and King County has learned of the death of King County resident from a rare blood clotting syndrome after receiving the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine. The individual, a woman in her late 30s, is the first confirmed death of King County from this very rare vaccine complication. So they want to do everything they can to really stick up for the vaccines. It's very rare. It's very rare that happens. But look at in the rare cases it happens. It's like a lady in her late 30s, or the one in Oregon, 37, mother of two or three children, or the law enforcement officer in Colorado, father of four. He's paralyzed now. Can't play with his kids. Or this poor kid up in Ohio, 19 years of age. How many more stories like this do we need to hear? This is a tweet from a California group that's advocating for opening or reopening schools. It says, synopsis report from Sonoma County Sheriff's Office reveals otherwise healthy 15-year-old died in June from heart issue due to the second COVID vaccine 2 days prior. Sonoma County has zero pediatric COVID deaths, tragically at least one vaccine-related death. So no COVID deaths for children. No COVID deaths for teens in this county, but they've got a vaccine death. And what does Pfizer come out today and say? Yeah, we've done a little test. We've performed an in-house test. We've decided it's totally safe for five-year-olds. And I presume Joe Biden's going to say, hey, five-year-olds, get vaccinated. 5 years old? They need this jab? They really need it? Or does Pfizer need the money? Pfizer wants the money. Pfizer covets the money. Pfizer lusts for the money. And one Pfizer whistleblower comes forward and says, you know what? They're using cells from aborted fetal tissue. How about that? How about that? So now I suppose it would strengthen your argument if you have a religious objection, but we'll see. Because this satanic movement to just force people to go along, the spirit behind it, it's pretty intense. I've got all these headlines here, employees being laid off. Newsday says Northwell Health, the state's largest healthcare system. I think this is in California. It's in New York, sorry. Said Monday it had fired 1,400 employees. So, you know, usually an administration comes in and wants to add jobs, you know, to try to help stimulate the economy. Not Biden, not Joe Obama, not Barack Obama. Hey, fire them. Doesn't matter if they were heroes last year, these nurses. Just get rid of them. They won't get the jab. The numbers, just with this one institution, it amounts to 2% of the workforce being laid off. But as Sam was saying, you extrapolate that on out to all across the state of New York. I mean, this is widespread layoffs. Because someone chooses, because someone says, my body, my choice. It applies to abortion, but not the vaccine. You got to get the vaccine or you lose the job. You lose your job. Northwell has, let me just carry on with the next example. I don't have time to go through all of these. Last week, a North Carolina system fired 175 employees for not getting jabbed. Newsday reports on teachers in New York City. With approximately 135,000 full-time employees in the department, about 6,750 workers aren't vaccinated, including about 3,000 of the school system's 75,000 teachers. So what's going to happen to them? There's something like 650,000 healthcare workers in New York State. You do the math, 2% of them. I mean, these are thousands and thousands of people being laid off. Massachusetts. All state employees must be jabbed by October 17. And according to statistics, 20% of the state employees haven't gotten the jab. What happens to them? Well, I guess they get laid off. Kaiser Permanente, it says 2,200 of its employees are now on unpaid administrative leave after not meeting COVID-19 vaccination deadline. Thousands here, thousands there, thousands everywhere. You got to do it. What did our trumpet headline say? Jab or else. And when was this from? This was from July of 2021. This was from several months ago. Tomorrow's news today. Who could have imagined this? Who could have imagined this just a few months ago? 18 months ago or 2 years ago. Who could have imagined the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, saying something like this, clip two.
Proof of vaccination will be required by no later than the end of this month for all federal employees. And by mid-November, enforcement measures in place will make sure that everyone is vaccinated. This is about keeping people safe on the job and in their communities. And the same goes for the second commitment we made, mandatory vaccination on travel. By the end of October, everyone 12 or older on a plane or train within Canada should be fully vaccinated. But by the end of November, if you're 12 or older and want to fly or take the train, you'll have to be fully vaccinated, as will staff. Testing will no longer be an option before boarding. If you've done the right thing and gotten vaccinated, you deserve the freedom to be safe from COVID-19, to have your kids safe from COVID, to get back to the things you love. The rules are very simple. To travel, you've got to be vaccinated. These travel measures, along with mandatory vaccination for federal employees, are some of the strongest in the world.
The guy's, he barely won a snap election just a few weeks ago, but he considers that a mandate from the people of Canada. Absolutely. Don't let people travel if they're unvaccinated. Don't let them work for the government if they're unvaccinated. He says there at the end, I mean, this is some of the strongest policies in the world. He just comes down hard. He barely made it through the snap election, but he just comes down hard with the iron fist. Oh, yes. This is the way it's got to be. And he's proud. He's proud. He's proud of his policies. He's proud of these authoritarian measures. Poor Canada. Richard Palmer had a trumpet brief just yesterday. He's in Canada at the moment. He said, last time I was in the country was 3 years ago. The change since that time is astonishing. The differences were noticeable almost immediately. I've always enjoyed the way Canadians proudly display their flags, but this time they were all at half-mast. Day after day they hung there, seemingly more tattered and faded than in years past. They were ordered half-mast to commemorate the residential schools scandal, a mistake made long since apologized for by all except the Catholic Church, which ran most of the schools. The scandal has been used to tarnish an entire nation's history. Canada, usually so proud of its identity, looked ashamed. It felt like visiting a defeated power. I've had quite a lot of material here on the collapse of our nations. I'm not going to have time to get to it again today. I will at some point. Just wait. But that's what we're seeing here. Richard's spot on. The defeated power, a defeated power. Canada, usually so proud of its identity, looked ashamed. Look at what's happening to our nations. And then you've got the communists here in the U.S. that, well, they're quite happy. They want us to go the way of Canada. Put these restrictions in place. Never mind the whistleblowers from Pfizer. Never mind these reports of people keeling over. Never mind the studies showing that the people getting the COVID primarily are vaccinated. Listen to the communist chief at CNN, the Obamaite. Her name's Lena Nguyen. This is clip 9.
Should the U.S. be more like Canada?
Yes, we should. But at this point, vaccine requirements are the way to go. Vaccine requirements in workplaces, as we've seen, have been very effective. And I also think that for domestic travel, for interstate travel, for planes, trains, interstate buses, things that are within the jurisdiction of President Biden and the federal government, I really do think that it's time to put those requirements too. But also, especially with holidays coming, it will be a powerful incentive for people to say, look, you can stay unvaccinated if you want, but you're not going to be able to travel to see your family.
I love how they say those kinds of statements with a little smile on their face. Look, you can stay unvaccinated if you want. Just not going to be able to see your family. You just can't get together with your family. You just have to stay locked down. You just have to be an outcast. You can't travel. You can't do anything. So it's your choice. We have free choice in the United States. You can choose to be unvaccinated, but then you're trapped. Then you're stranded. Then you're locked up. You're locked down. Do you think the communists have infiltrated the United States of America? They certainly have. The DOJ is going after mothers of 13-year-olds because they speak out at school board meetings about masking up. And this is what the DOJ is concerned about. I've got to squeeze in just this bit here about the election steal because, surprise, surprise, someone on Fox News actually brought up the Arizona audit. Jesse Waters, you better be careful. You better be careful because it's been blotted out of that station. They called Arizona at 10 p.m. back on November 3rd. So we're not to question. We're not to question what happened in Arizona. But here's Jesse Waters taking a calculated risk in his report yesterday, clip 6.
They're throwing it in our faces now. Politico just confirmed Hunter Biden's laptop was legit. And that's how you rig a vote. Run the October surprise a year after the election. So Biden lied. The family was in business with the Chinese communists, and they were holding 10 for the big guy. Don't hold your breath for a prosecution. In Arizona, Joe Biden beat Donald Trump by 11,000 votes. An audit in Maricopa County, done by an outside firm, found 57,000 questionable ballots just in that one county. The media wasn't interested in this, and the audit wasn't as thorough as it could have been because Arizona officials wouldn't fully cooperate, and some evidence was removed and destroyed.
That's right. Obstruction of justice. They didn't even get a full forensic audit because Maricopa County wouldn't cooperate. And there's 57,000 illegal ballots. Jovan Pulitzer says there's 700,000 questionable ones. 700,000? In a state with 11,000 being the difference. Now, the audit was finished, or the partial audit was finished, weeks ago. And what has happened? Why the blackout? Why? Why no action taken? Well, you've got even Republicans in Arizona. They're just ready to move on. And what about the weak conservatives in Washington, D.C.? Some of them make some strong statements on other subjects from time to time. We'll play their clips. Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, he doesn't think there's any fraud. Lindsey Graham, he got the COVID, so his mission now is to make sure you get the jab. Ted Cruz, hey, let's move on to 2024. Where are the men of courage to stand up and to correct this? Obvious. They were boarding up the windows just like they do at Pfizer. Obstructing justice, as Jesse Waters says. And yet, you're not even to bring it up if you even suggest that there was foul play last year on November 3rd. Well, you're a domestic terrorist. Listen to Terry McAuliffe, the Democrat. This is a comment from 2004. He's referring back to the Bush-Gore election or presidential run in 2000, clip 12.
Let's go back to Florida. We actually won the last presidential election, folks. They stole the last presidential election.
Terry McAuliffe is a domestic terrorist. Terry McAuliffe is a, by today's standards, he's an insurrectionist. He said the Republicans stole the 2000 election, and he said it 4 years. 4 years after the Hanging Chad controversy. Pretty amazing. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, you can always email us, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Flurry's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
In the last couple programs, we've been talking about what the Bible calls the Great White Throne Judgment Period, when all who've ever lived will finally have an opportunity to have their minds open to the truth. This is projecting far ahead into the future, beyond the 1,000-year millennium, right into that last period described there in Revelation 20, Isaiah 65. We read these verses yesterday. When the books of the Bible will be opened to the understanding of all mankind, people brought back to life, flesh and blood, able to live out their lives for 100 years or so, and then to commit to God's way through repentance and faith and baptism, and then to live out their physical existence, growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then finally born into God's family. God has laid out a plan. He has devised the very best possible plan for all of mankind to be saved. And did you know that most people in the end will be saved? They will experience their spiritual birth into God's family. Not all, but certainly most. That's because God, in His infinite amount of wisdom, has laid out this plan. There's a definite time order to it. Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, and then the family of God expanding over all the earth, and then eventually on into the universe. The last great day, that's the seventh and final festival in God's seven annual festivals, and it pictures the completion of God's plan of redemption. It's a time when all who have ever, or I should say never, who've never known God will finally have their opportunity to learn His ways. Think of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. There was a story, by the way, the other day about more archaeological evidence of what happened there with Sodom and Gomorrah. And of course, they explain it as if it's some kind of fiery meteor from space that just inadvertently hit Sodom right at about the time that the biblical account says it's to be torched from heaven. So again, God's kind of removed from these miraculous events. And yet there it is in the news. Sodom and Gomorrah. It really did happen. An entire community, Sodom, Gomorrah, went up in flames and people died. Tens of thousands, no doubt. They'll have an opportunity, those people. The ones that surrounded Lot's house. The ones that were so caught up into all the evil perversions of the day, they'll have their opportunity to have their minds open, finally. Even Jesus said so in the New Testament. What about the many thousands that mocked Noah and his family while he constructed that ark for 100 years? And then they died in that earth-wide flood. Yes, it was an earth-wide flood. It did encircle the earth. It wasn't regional. It wasn't in a little valley. It wasn't a flash flood that then the writers of the Bible exaggerated into a worldwide flood. It was what it's described as in the Bible. But those people will have an opportunity to come right back up in the resurrection, the second resurrection, the resurrection to flesh and blood. It's described there in Ezekiel 37. It refers specifically to ancient Israelites in that Valley of the Dry Bones, Ezekiel 37. But the Egyptian captors, the ones that held the Israelites captive, they're going to have their opportunities. Their opportunity finally to have their minds open to God's truth. Later on, the Assyrians and the Babylonians, they took Israel into captivity. The Assyrians and the Babylonians, they too will have an opportunity to participate in God's plan of salvation. All those who persecuted Jesus Christ in the first century, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, Pilate, Caiaphas, the Romans, is God just going to shut them out of His plan and purpose after they lived out their physical lives and they didn't know anything about the teachings of Jesus? They didn't understand the gospel that Jesus proclaimed. They didn't have their minds open to the truth so that they could take from the tree of life. God's not going to shut them out. God's going to welcome them in upon repentance and faith. God's going to welcome them in. That's awesome to think about. What about all the people slaughtered in World Wars I and II? Or recently I mentioned the Civil War. 700,000 Americans. A lot of them were youths. Some of them teenagers, 13, 14 years of age, just itching to get a gun. And if they weren't allowed to have a gun, they'd play the drums or play the bugle, whatever they could do to be part of the North or the South. And rivers of blood flowing through mostly the southeastern portion of the United States. All these Civil War battlefields just dotting the landscape, even to this day. Is there hope for those young boys that were slaughtered in that family turmoil? Brothers going against brothers. And then you come to the 20th century and all of the modern warfare that just incinerated people by the tens of thousands, like in Hiroshima, Nagasaki. Is there hope for those communities, the people that live there? Do they have a chance for salvation? What if some of the people in those communities never even heard of Jesus Christ? Is there no hope for them? There is hope for them. In God's church, it's the only church on this earth that can actually explain to you from the Bible why they have hope. Those that are out there promoting the tug of war, God and Satan tugging back and forth, trying to win as many souls as soon as possible before it's too late. Well, what they're actually saying by promoting that sort of teaching is that Satan, the devil, is winning and that there's no hope for billions and billions of people because they weren't saved before they died physically. They don't understand, the people that preach that kind of false doctrine, they don't understand the truth about the first and second resurrection. And so they must have to conclude that, well, there's no hope for tens of billions of people that lived and died and never did have any knowledge. They never did have any knowledge of the truth. They never were saved, as the worldly religions like to say. This world is so deceived. The truth of your Bible is that for 6,000 years, mankind, for the most part, except for a tiny few that God chose to call out in advance in order to assist Jesus Christ as his bride, except for that tiny few, all of mankind, from the Garden of Eden right through to this day, has been cut off from God. Cut off from the tree of life, cut off from the Holy Spirit. Notice 2 Peter 3 and verse 8, an awesome passage here. 2 Peter 3 and verse 8, it says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the eternal as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Don't let this fact escape you," Peter says. With God, 1,000 years, it's just like one day. Isaiah 57 says God inhabits eternity. God's not up there saying, "Oh, I hope more people will come along." Obviously, he's working out his plan. His purpose stands. His purpose is marching forward. There's no slowing it down. But he's allowed this. His hands-off policy is to allow mankind to do it his own way so that he can learn that it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. In the Epistles of Peter booklet, my father says, "We are preparing first of all for 1,000-year millennium, and after that we'll begin the process of spreading God's government out into the universe and into eternity." He says, this is a universe-sized concept. We must not live in the present. We must live in the future as God does. We've got to really try to wrap our minds around this universe-sized concept. Why is the universe out there? What is its purpose? Why did God create it? Why did God create us? Why did he create human beings? These are some of the big questions asked in Mystery of the Ages. Mr. Armstrong's classic work from 1985, released in 1985. It's gone out to millions by now, whether by book or circulation back in the late 80s, even though that circulation version was corrupted by Laodiceans. But still, a lot of people are familiar with this message. You can contact our operators today and request Mystery of the Ages. There's a toll-free number, 1-866-930-3024. And make sure you get this book and go through it, study it. I'm going through it again now for the, I don't even know how many times it's been. Mr. Armstrong said, read it and reread it and reread it. Study it. Because we forget. It's so easy to forget God's purpose and plan for all of mankind. Jesus Christ, like I read to you yesterday, God sent him to save the whole world. That's where we've got to wrap our minds, right around the world, even the universe, like my father said in that quote. What a magnificent plan and purpose God has worked out here below. Verse 9 in 2 Peter 3, it says, The eternal is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not willing, notice that, not willing that any should perish. God's really laid out this perfect plan so that most people will make it, so that most people will be born again into God's family. You can go and study that in John 3 and see what the truth is about born again. We've got a booklet on that subject as well. Again, the world's churches, they have their version of that teaching. It's not based on Scripture. It's based on human reasoning and tradition of men, traditions of men. Request our free booklet on the subject of born again and learn the truth. Learn the truth about that subject. God, though, it says here, is patient. Human beings are not so patient. In fact, we're very impatient. A lot of people have given up on God in this final era of the church. A lot of God's people who had their minds open to the truth, who thought that, well, Christ should return by such and such date, or Christ should return by this date. And if he doesn't, well, that's enough for me then. I've had enough. I've waited long enough. You've waited long enough, really? God's purpose and plan is unfolding exactly the way it should be. It's right on time. But you have to remember that with God, 1,000 years is as a day. And one day like 1,000 years. God doesn't want anyone to perish. Verse 9 says that. He wants everyone to experience the joyful abundance of living in God's family for all eternity. And so he's laid out this perfect plan. There's a definite time order to it. Jesus comes 2,000 years ago. Before that, the prophets of old and the prophets together with Christ and his ministry, they form the foundation of the church. Ephesians 2, 19 through 21, you can read that later. And then in these past 2,000 years, the church age, God has called out a few into the true church. And that's a church that's been persecuted and on the run, ridiculed, mocked, chased away, scattered about. But it survives to this day. And even when it nearly died, there in the late 80s, following Herbert Armstrong's death, God intervened to raise up the ruins. And he started with 12 people. And you look at where that organization is today. I could refer you to a lot of other literature to complete that story. But I don't want to inundate you with too much. We'll have to pick up this study tomorrow on the Trumpet Daily. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Send us an email, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.